Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the conference call and webcast on Innergex Renewable Energy Sale and Icelandic Assets. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique et à la webdiffusion sur la vente des actifs islandais d'Innergex Énergies Renouvelables. At this time, all participants on the phone and internet are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Karine Vachon, Communications Director. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'd like to specify that this conference will be held in English. Members of the media are invited to ask their questions by phone after this call. A presentation supporting today's discussion is available as we speak on the homepage of our website at www.innergex.com. This call contains forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities laws. Although the corporation believes that the expectations and assumptions on which forward-looking statements are based are reasonable under the current circumstances, listeners are cautioned not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements, as no assurance can be given that it will prove to be correct. Forward-looking information contained herein is made as at the date of this MD&A, and the corporation does not undertake any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information, whether as a result of events or circumstances occurring after the date hereof, unless so required by law. During this call, we will refer to financial measures that are not recognized according to International Financial Reporting Standards. Please refer to the non-IFRS measures section of the financial review for more information. Our speakers today will be Mr. Michel Letellier, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Jean-François Nault, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment and Development Officer, is also here with us. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. Letellier.
Thank you, Karine, and thank you, everybody. I will be explaining a little bit of the transaction, and Jean-François will guide you to the more specific numbers and also the update on our long-term forecast for the year. So, first of all, thank you for joining. This call should not be so long, but I thought it was important for us to be able to share this news with you. We have not in the past sell asset or segment of our business, but as I mentioned in the past, HS Orca was acquired through Altera, and the geothermal asset, although it's a great asset, and I think that the price that we got proved that we were right in terms of valuation matrix when we did acquire Altera. Those were very good assets, but we saw no long-term future for us in trying to expand out of Iceland and geothermal. We wanted to focus on hydro, solar, and wind, and more recently on battery storage and other means to store energy. So as you have seen in the press release, we have secured a good price, you know, a little bit over $400 million. That represents 16 times EV over adjusted EBITDA multiple. So for us, I think it was a hidden value in our balance sheet to some degree, because it's creating about $61 million of accounting profit and cash as well. So I think that it also showed that the total value that we paid for Altera is now somehow more reasonable if you take those numbers in consideration. Also, the fact that we're reducing our exposure to the Icelandic currency, which was very difficult to hedge and quite volatile, so that's helped. And also, there were quite a bit of noise in our balance sheet due to the financial derivative that HOCA was carrying, namely in their PPA linked to the price of aluminum. So I think it's clearing up a little bit the story on Innergex, and given the fact that we're very, very positive and active in our core market, mainly the States, Canada, France, and Chile, we're seeing a lot of action, so we wanted to focus on our energy and money on those markets. So I guess that you've seen also it's two geothermal facility totaling 174 megawatt, and also 30% of the equity investment in the Blue Lagoon, and a 10 megawatt hydro under construction. The Acquire, we're very proud to have worked with Macquarie. They've been very, very diligent in their approach, very professional. So I'm happy to know that they will be taking care of those assets and the existing management in place. So that was important for us also to find a good long-term holder to these assets. The use of proceeds will Jean-François will give you the big guidelines, and we're hoping to close the transaction. It's subject to a ROFR on the existing shareholder in Iceland, so we would have to wait the 60 days curing period. So that brings us something in the beginning of June for a final closing. So also, I guess that as I mentioned, if we flip the page, we are providing you with pie chart on our geography and installed capacity by energy source. So we're refocusing on Canada and our main market, and also eliminating the geothermal segment of our business. So again, nothing against these assets. They were great, but we were so busy in our other market where we think we can create more value and have more input into the long-term operation. So on those notes, I will let Jean-François give you the more detail, and we'll be available for answering your question at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Michel, and good morning, everyone. As Michel just mentioned, we're quite pleased with this transaction today, which is highly strategic on multiple fronts. So on page 8, we present source and uses of fund, and from the $409 million proceed, we will repay the $228 million one-year asset sale loan, still outstanding since the acquisition of Cartier. And with transaction cost amounting to approximately $7 million, it leaves us with $174 million to deleverage our corporate revolving credit facility. If you go next page, we're also pleased by the sale price, which represents a premium over the book value. Indeed, we estimate accounting gain before tax approximately to $61 million. We do not anticipate any current tax on this transaction. This brings the total after-tax estimated accounting gain to $53 million in cash. $61 million in cash, I mean, $53 million accounting. Consequently, also with this transaction, we're revising our 2019 guidance to reflect the closing of the transaction at the end of Q2. Therefore, our guidance now only take into consideration 6 months of contribution from HSRK compared to a full year in our previous projections. Assuming a closing at the end of the second quarter and as a result of the sales, we anticipate production, revenues, adjusted EBITDA, and adjusted EBITDA proportionate to be lower than first expected, but still higher than 2018. We can also expect the adjusted EBITDA margin to improve and be closer to its historical level above the 70% range. As for free cash flow, the loss of HSRK free cash flow should be mostly compensated by the saving and interest charge. Therefore, our guidance remains unchanged here. On that note, I will open the floor to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, press the star followed by the one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your question will be polled in the order that they are received. Please ensure you lift a handset if you're using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from the line of Nelson Ng from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks, and congratulations on the transaction.
Thank you.
My first question relates to whether there's any like upside or possibility from a higher bidder, and I presume there are break fees.
We don't expect a higher bidder. This is we have finalized all the documentation with Macquarie. It's a firm PSA has been signed, so there's no potential upside on that aspect, and there's a small break fee if ever the ROFO is exercised. It's not so material compared to the transaction.
Okay, got it. And then my second question is, in terms of the new guidance, is it purely just to reflect the six-month contribution from HS Orca, and there's no other changes in terms of, I guess,
yeah,
like your merchant power prices generation or anything else? It's purely due to this transaction, right?
Exactly. Purely subtracting the last six months of the years of HS Orca contribution and adding the cash, so the reduction of the financial charge for the last 6 months. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Your next question comes from the line of Sean Stewart from TD Securities. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. A couple of questions. This has been in the works for some time. You guys have been quite public about this being a potential divestiture candidate. Can you give us a bit of more background on the process? Was this ever a competitive process? Did Macquarie approach you? Any context you can provide there?
Yeah, I guess that it was a competitive process. It started somewhere last summer when we did receive unsolicited bid, and through that we started our reflection on the long-term owning of HS Orca, and then we did engage BMO and a local broker in Iceland called Stemplar, and a certain amount of potential buyer were contacted, and hence it turns out that Macquarie was a big winner there. And like I said, we've been very, very pleased with their professionalism.
Okay. And with a bit more liquidity at your disposal, does this change your thinking on the timing for advancing any of your prospective or advanced development pipeline over the near to midterm?
Of course, I guess the people were a little bit concerned when we did announce the transaction of Cartier first with the project finance in the range of $400 million at the outset of the transaction, that at the end of the day, we did a little bit better. And of course, this equity bridge financing, we still a question mark in the investor mind. But that is behind us now with this announcement. So, of course, we feel a little bit more free to forge ahead in our development. And like I said, Jean Trudel is on the line, and we're quite active. We're seeing a lot of action in our development. We have a strategy also to do a little bit more solar in the States. But I guess that will give you a little bit more guidance when we will secure a little bit more these pipeline. But that's also part of the reason why we wanted to divest Iceland, is to refocus on where we think we can create value in our own development.
That's great. Thanks for the context.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by one. As a reminder, if you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the pound key. Your next question comes from the line of Mark Jarvi from CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Mark.
I just wanted to double check. Maybe you guys talked at the beginning of the call, but I missed it. But just the third party consents, you know, what kind of consents those are, and any risk that you guys don't get approval to close the transaction.
Oh, there's one which is the bank. It's Arion Bank. The usual change of control clause where we have to ask the consent, but given the quality of the investor, I don't perceive any risk there.
Okay, and then you know, this was a successful transaction. You guys monetized, like you said, a non-core asset. What's your willingness to look at any other assets in your portfolio, whether it's minority interest or something like that, to potentially sell to focus on your large development projects?
Well, as you know, Mark, we've done in the past some strategic or financial engineering with co-investor like pension fund. Desjardins was one. Obviously, this is always in our mind in order to have the lowest cost of capital and of course, giving us a little bit more flexibility and diversification also, depending on how much project we would have in one area under development. So, yes, but we think that in good time, when we have created the value, when we had advanced the project enough or even put it into COD, that's where we think we have the possibility to have the best value for these assets. So potential sell down in minority is always on our mind. Selling asset outright, it was the first time. We're not saying no, but I think we would rather sell minority portion to strategic finance partner. That's probably
okay.
Where we would be heading.
And then obviously a use of proceeds to pay down the bridge and potentially the other revolver. Is there a specific leverage metric, anything for corporate level debt that you guys have in mind when you guys think about financing your growth? Is there some metric that you guys use as an internal barometer for debt at the top of the house?
Well, there's some. Jean Trudel and Jean-François can give you perhaps some, but I don't want to be too specific. But I guess that we always have in mind our rating with S&P, so we have continuous discussion with them. I think that the historical type of leverage we had is probably something that we'll try to aim at, and not necessarily going away from what you've seen in the last couple of years, I guess, except for perhaps this equity bridge transaction that was put in place. But I guess that what you've seen in the past is something that we think is sustainable and give us enough flexibility in terms of lowering our total cost of capital.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeremy Rosenfeld from Industrial Alliance. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry if I missed it. I think you mentioned, Michel, the valuation that you attributed to the transaction. Could I just ask you to repeat that and just to walk through how you were calculating or thinking about that valuation multiple?
Yes, but Jean-François can give you a little bit more go
ahead. Yeah, hi, Jeremy. So Michel referred to an approximate 16-time EBITDA, and you take the total $409 million and add up the proproportionate debt of HSRCA and Blue Lagoon, gets you to around-ish $470 million, and divided by the proportionate adjusted EBITDA of HSRCA and Blue Lagoon, which should give you around-ish $30 million. So therefore, we get to the around 16-time EBITDA. And I can walk you through the financial statement to guide you where to find the Blue Lagoon information on our 2018 year-end financial statement. If you want, we can take this up.
No, that's perfect. No, that's perfect.
But it's on a fully proportionate basis. Yep.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to get to. Then the other question, the only other question that I had was just with regard to where you sit right now in terms of equity requirements to complete the growth projects that you have under contract, and where you see sort of financing going forward over the next 12 months.
Yeah, that's something that I want to be cautious because, like I said, we're very, very active and we're seeing good thing. But we always said that we had enough money to do the Ford City Phoebe, and eventually if we're successful in developing more project, then obviously we'll see if we would need some more equity or convertible debentures, stuff like that. So depending on how successful we are on advancement of project, we could open up to some more flexible financing in the near future. But I guess that we want to make sure that we have enough liquidity in our balance sheet to meet the growing portfolio that we have. But again, what we said in the past is that CB, Fort City, were covered with the existing facility in place.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know. Thank you. That's it.
Perfect. Thanks.
Ms. Vachon, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, everyone. We look forward to speaking with you at our next call in May.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect your lines.